Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is still very much in his 40s. Very much so. It's Richard Herring. Oh, yeah. Hello. Hello, London. Hello. Oh, lovely to be here. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was in Lazytown the other day. And I was talking to Sportacus from Lazytown. Remember Lazytown? He calls it Rahalastapas, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. The girl from Lazytown is now about 26, so... Good news! Not that I Googled it. Welcome to the show. It was the wig, really, wasn't it? The wig was good. welcome to the show. I'm 49 years old as we record this, but due to the magic of the passage of time, the people who are listening to this, I'll be either over 50 or dead. That's the magic of the passage of time. So I can't quite believe I'm going to be... I haven't really thought about turning 50. When I turned 40, I went crazy, right? I had a proper midlife crisis, went out, got drunk, behaved appallingly, but... I don't think I've really processed the fact I'm turning 50 in 2 days' time from now. It's because now I'm 50 and I've got a family. I've got some actual stuff to worry about. So it's some responsibilities which I didn't have back then. But 10 years have passed since I turned 40. I can't believe that. I've just got over the existential dread of being 40, and now click my fingers and bang, another 10 years have disappeared into the ether. And what have I got to show for it? Oh, a wife and a child. Fucking great.
some success in my career, big deal. Happiness, fuck off. No, very much. It's having a lovely time. We're moving this week as well. I mean, it's like I've turning 50, and then someone's gone, yeah, you're not allowed to live in London anymore, mate. You have to leave. You've got 2 days to get out. So we're moving to the countryside on Friday. Yeah. Hooray. Are you a fan of the countryside or of the day of Friday? Yeah, Friday. I love anything with Friday in it. I always eat in TFI Fridays because I love Friday. Yeah, we're going to Hertfordshire. So the next time I do some podcasts, I mean after next week's show, obviously, I'll be living in the countryside. It'll be a very different, and I'll be 50. It'll be a very different experience. I hope you will enjoy it. Might as well be dead. So let's crack on. My guest this week, he last appeared on the Rich Hanks Leicester Square Theatre podcast in September 2015. So about 2 years ago, it seems longer. He's a very normal man. He's got a very normal face. He's probably best known as the Cockney in Pompidou. Remember that? The Pompidou show, the Matt Lucas vehicle. Please welcome, it's Limmy, ladies and gentlemen. It's Limmy. Limmy. Hello. Come and sit down. Pull up a chair.
Thank you very much.
Is that working?
Hello?
Yeah, there's one.
Thank you very much.
Limmy, it's Brian. Brian Limmon. So you were a Cockney. How do they get a job? I know there's no sound in Pompidou.
Yeah.
But you can't come down here doing our Cockney parts. That is very offensive.
Well, Matt Lucas asked me to do that Pompidou is a kind of Pingu sort of thing. It's a kind of like. Is that going to be? Yeah. So that's like the second thing that I've came down. My big break.
Yeah.
For the other thing was.
Was the other thing the Leicester Square Theatre podcast?
There's that. Yeah. But I mean, like that on the telly.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like the broadcast telly.
Okay. Yeah.
The other big break was the IT crowd.
Yeah, you're a window.
Whereas a window cleaner going like. So for Pompidou, it's like. That IT crowd thing, I got asked to. Graham Linehan, he liked like the first series of Limmy Show, and he got in touch with us, and via my agents, London agents, and he said, "Do you want to be in the IT crowd?" And I hadn't watched it. I hadn't really watched. I'd seen it on the telly, but never actually sat down and went, "I'm going to watch this."
Yeah.
And I knew that like Chris Morris was on it for a bit. And Noel Fielding was on it for a bit, and I thought, well, this is what it'll be like. It'll be like I'll be maybe like one of these kind of recurring characters, not to replace like the top three, but you know, one of these other ones. And I thought, well, what could this be? And I got the script and I looked at the pages, and it says, it's a kind of a Glaswegian that you can't make out a fucking word he's saying. Is that right? Brilliant. So that was my big break. Yeah. So I sold it.
What in Pompidou? You didn't have to speak though, so it didn't matter about the accent. Can you do a Cockney accent?
Cockney accent?
Yeah. That's not very good.
You're right.
Yeah, it's good.
Everything all right?
I find that as a Londoner, I find that very, very offensive. You trying to do my accent? That's awful. I would never do anything like that. So. Nice to have you back.
On you go.
Thanks for coming down again. And we got you a hotel.
You're not going to do it.
We could have got. Hello! This is how I'd have done the Glaswegian guy. Hello! The guy's in the IT crowd.
No. That's actually deeply offensive. I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to you going to the Fringe in August. You'll tell me you're going to the Fringe in August. Make sure you get a nice welcome, right? You get away with it in Edinburgh, though, so that is kind of pretty much English here anyway.
They love it up there. They love it up there. We've got your hotel because we paid for you to come down standard class from Glasgow on the train.
Yeah.
Paid for you to go in a hotel. I noticed on Twitter you were making porridge in a cup for your dinner.
I will. So. I thought... You said when you book your train and hotel, can you keep it within this amount of money? And I did that. so that I could only afford standard class train and Travelodge. I don't even think I could afford to put breakfast on the Travelodge, so I thought I'll keep it within that.
Would have given you breakfast at the Travelodge.
I know, but I thought, right, I'll maybe get breakfast. I thought, no, I'll save myself a tenner.
Yeah.
If I don't get it, I thought I'll get breakfast somewhere. And then when I just got to the hotel, I thought I could actually just nip around the corner to one of the shops, get a packet of porridge, and then I could make myself dinner, because I've not had my dinner yet. Pour it in a cup. I thought they've got a cup in the hotel room, they've got a cup, not a bowl, and a teaspoon, like for when you're making coffee. So I poured the porridge oats in there and the boiling water in there. I never had any salt. I used salt, no sugar, but not even any salt though. So just plain, and a wee bit of milk on the top here. And that's my breakfast tomorrow as well. Breakfast in the Travelodge would cost, I think it said about £12.
Right.
That, £1.84. And I'll have plenty of porridge left.
You can take the porridge back.
For the train back up the road. Yeah.
Just in case they run out of porridge in Scotland as well. You can
don't guess there's a chance of that.
We should do that kind of thing, the whole thing, but fucking...
Is there any chance of that, bro?
Well, I'm sorry we didn't... I should have said we could have paid for breakfast, I feel.
No, it's nice. It's nice. It's nice and filling. Porridge is
I do exactly the same thing on tour. Because I resent... Well, when I'm touring around and you're staying in hotels a lot, just going down and having a full English breakfast every morning just makes me feel like I want to die, you know. So I'll just get like a little... One of those porridge pots that you can pour. They cost a bit more, you know, those little kind of...
Right.
You pour the water in, it's got milk in it already, and then you stir them up.
All right. Well, I'd really like that. Just after like a book tour, and that was like about a month and a half, I'd gone about fucking travelodge, and it's the same breakfast, the same everything, same picture on the wall in all the rooms, and everything, again and again and again. I like that. I love that fucking routine. I love that, like, boring as fuck kind of life. And every morning, the same fucking, like, granola, and then you get your scrambled eggs and all this shite again and again. It's nice and everything, but again and again and again, but... I fancy the wee change, a wee bit of porridge with any fucking salt in it, a cup.
We'll try and send someone out to get you some salt during
the... It's fine. Yeah. I'm fine,
are you
honestly.
Sure?
Aye, I'm alright.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, I just want to make sure you're as happy.
So it's gonna be fucking finished in about 10 minutes. It's good porridge. Nice.
It's important talking about porridge. I've been reading your new book.
That's your lot.
I loved your first book. I kind of like the economy. That's basically why it's called That's Your Lot, because all these stories are very... Is that right? They're very quick.
Kind of. They're all longer than the stories in Daffy's stories, but it's the kind of stories that... Like, I was trying to do these punchline-y sort of things with Daffy's stories, because I come from a sketch writing background. Sound like a fucking wank here, man. It's very much a sketch writing background. So I was always trying to have a wee punchline, a wee joke, a wee twist at the end or something. But I read some other stories by an artist, a writer called Raymond Carver.
Oh, yeah.
A cunt. And his stories just seemed to just end. Just kind of like there. And I didn't like it at first. I started to like these stories. That's kind of like That's Your Lot, and I felt like writing stories where you're not really thinking about, oh, it doesn't have to have a, you're not thinking so much about a catchphrase or a twist, or it doesn't have to be funny or good or anything like that. It's really, really frees you up.
I really like it because I think you get the tension going very quickly in all of them, and you want to find out what's happening and what's going on. And you know, I've read about half of this book, and they're all this kind of, you're very good at.
And then
I've got time to read the whole thing.
I'm
saving some up for bedtime.
Right.
They're very good. Read them on the loo. They're good.
Good. That's
I'm not going to read the rest of it. A lot of people come on here and only read half the book and then I don't go back to it. I'm reading the rest
Did
of
you
it.
Read the first off?
Yeah, I've read
Or just like here, there and...
It's on my Kindle, so I've just read... I'm reading them in order. So
well, that's good because I put out a good ones at the start. So
yeah, they're good.
That's all right.
But they're very... You're very good at building the scene immediately. It's really brilliant writing and I kind of like the brutality. Some of them just end sort of brutally, like bang, they're gone. They're building up and then go, oh, and this is what happened.
You know what I mean? It's grammar. Have you read grammar?
No.
That's funny because that's in the first half.
That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one I'm talking about. I thought you said grandma. I have read grandma.
The ending of that, I really enjoyed the ending of that.
I love it.
I was pissing myself. It's horrible. Don't worry, I'm not here to talk about my book. No, actually, what's great about my book is. But when I wrote the ending of that, it felt like sending a fucking dodgy tweet that you know this is going to. Like I'm fucked, you know. This is suicide, but
it's really good because I was reading that on the tube on the way here, and I was pissing myself at all the. It's all about the guy, a guy who corrects people's grammar in emails at work.
Right? I kind of grammar,
but it's just really funnily. It's just really well observed and funnily done, and that kind of person and the character I always imagine of you in most of these stories, getting annoyed by someone correcting people's grammar.
Yeah.
And then, the end of it is just like... just like it blows up in
you
the face.
You find the reason why he's there. You have to read it. I've no problem.
Yeah,
have you got any
books
for sale? When
no, there are some. My book, Emergency Questions, is on sale. GoFasterStripe.com/EQ. We can put some of yours up on GoFasterStripe.
Sorry,
it's all on Kindle now. I'd like to hold it up, but it's all on ebooks.
I was going to bring it. I thought, fuck it. I mean, the last time I was on, I had done a few stories before I did the tour, so I thought this is first chance to read out a story. But I've just been doing it for like 2 fucking months, and I'm like, fuck, get a fucking book to fuck, get it. Get up and go to this fucking house.
I like the way one of the first stories anyway is about. I think it's interesting because. A lot of people would make a lot more out of some of these ideas, right? And I like the way you kind of have a really good idea and explore it very quickly and sort of throw it away. So the one about the guy who's writing his kid's name in the concrete. It's a very quick story, but it's a really good idea. That would make a film or something, that idea. So can I slightly give away what happens? So he's writing it's a lovely story about father-son thing, wanting to show your son that you loved him when he was little because you know he's going to forget that you have this moment, which I've, you know, that's what I think all the time with my daughter is all this fucking time I'm putting in, and she's going to remember
nobody
none
remember
of this.
It, yeah. Don't waste.
Have any. So that's why I write a blog every day, and I'm going to make her read that so that she knows, so she sees
you
through.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this guy decides to write his son's name in the concrete and gets caught. And gets.
I can on the wet concrete guy.
Yeah. And then the bloke doing the concrete kind of basically attacks him, and then he gets stuck in the concrete.
Yeah.
And then has to live in the concrete for the rest of his life.
Aye, and it's got this... I was a wee bit worried when you started explaining it. I thought, it's going to sound shite. Because I don't even want to do it. You know, I would, like any sort of story. I was saying to my girlfriend all day, I wrote something happened on the telly. I says, I wrote a story about something like that. She, oh, aye, right. I said, it's about, and she just wasn't fucking interested. it's good, you got to read it. She's like that.
But this one, like the idea of a man being stuck, it's just like you could, someone else would get like a film out of that or a novel out of that, you know what I mean? Kafkaesque or something.
I don't think I've got the attention span.
No.
I tried, in the book, writing like kind of 10,000 word story, but, and that's at the end, right? But that took me fucking ages. It took me longer to write 10,000 words in one story than it did to write like 10,000 word stories, because you've got to kind of... the pace it and the plot points and all this sort of shit. It gets like a pain in the arse. I like just doing something and then it's finished by the end of the day.
I agree, but I think it works really effectively. I said this about your first book, but I think your writing is just... It's so much your voice, and it's so individual, and it's so unlike anything else. I think it's really brilliant.
Thanks
and I think most people would sort of ruin that story, but also it would bear with having more done with it. But it's great to just do it that quickly. The twist happens, and then we've ruined it for everyone.
Thank you very much.
And I quite like you do this on Twitter. I mean, I love the way you use Twitter as well. It's kind of like there was a I can't even remember what it was the other day.
I don't know if I'm hearing things right.
Yeah.
But see, when you said. It's probably just somebody bopping or something. But see, when you said, "Oh, and I love the way you did Twitter," I thought I heard somebody going, like, did I imagine that, or is it just somebody going, like,
a lot of bopping?
I thought somebody was going, like, everybody will look, go like that. Every cunt's fucking left, man. Like, thank you very much. Cheers.
No, but there's a couple of people who just like to come along because they hate the person.
I just imagine that.
They're happy to pay out 15 quid just to come and go,
yeah.
They don't do that.
I just imagine that. Don't worry, there's not going to be a situation here.
They've got Twitter now. The thing with those people, don't ever have to leave the house now. They can just do that from the... They can just tweet,
Aye. get a room.
There was a thing he did the other... There was one, I don't know if you can turn it into a short story, but there was one, and I can't quite remember the details of it, but it went on for quite a long time, a little tweets thing about you working a way to kill people by dragging them out down the beach and tying them up under the sea. Do you remember this?
Oh,
and so they drowned. They drowned under the sea, and you could get everyone in a wedding party or something out one by one until every single... And if you did it subtly, you get every single guest. And then in the morning, you'd wake up and there'd be the whole wedding party would be drowned under the sea, tied up under the sea.
I can't remember why... When was that?
I remember it was about a month or two ago, but it was like... I remember
something to do with tying... like, putting a bit of rope in the ground, like a noose, an upside-down noose. Yeah. So it's actually like, no, you're not hanging for the neck for a tree, but it's actually... Under the water, just at the shore, and then getting somebody pushing them underwater and sticking their neck in it, and then so they're drowning there, and then but I can't remember why.
It went on for ages.
I used to tweet stuff like about Chris Brown all the time. I used to say I'd love to put him through a fucking mincer. I'd love to crucify him, nail him to the bottom of a swimming pool, and things like that. But I can't remember that. That was just in general. It was just
a general murder general plan. Person, it was just a plot to commit mass murder. But it read like a kind of novel or a serial killer's diary.
I'd love to write something like that. The killer doesn't get his comeuppance. It's not a study in psychopathy or anything like that. I'm actually enjoying it. I'm enjoying killing these people. And you're on the side of the fucking killer. There's no redeeming features. There's not, you know, the poor guy's went through a lot in his childhood. And that's why he's turned out like this. No, let's go and fucking... Like, Grand Theft Auto, let's fucking go and kill some people. And, you know, kill horrible fucking and kill everybody. And I'd love to write something like that. Really, you can get the sense that I'm fucking... You know, I'm really enjoying it. The writer is enjoying this. Yeah. That... He's not going, what do you make of these people? You know, like, no, I'm that fucking person. I'm like, it's either that or a fucking date for real. Take your pick.
But most people don't use Twitter in that way to write a kind of fantasy stroke fiction short story. It's really interesting. And Andy McCage, my Twitter correspondent, also wanted me to ask you about the fake WhatsApp tweets you've been doing, which is...
Oh, aye.
Which are, again, quite full-on, aren't they? I've seen some of these.
Well, I did them... I think it was when I was starting the book tour and I was sitting on a train and an R train. I did them on the way down here, just kind of tweeting like fuck. And I just thought, right, I want to see if I can come up with a big fucking Twitter hit. And I noticed that a lot of these 30,000 retweet, 40,000 retweet ones have got I am dying. And then, you know, the kind of greeting, laughing, sort of crying, laughing sort of face emojis. And it's sometimes like WhatsApp stuff, conversations. And I just noticed that the WhatsApp stuff between somebody and their granny or something like that, it's kind of funny, but it's them putting in a sort of canned laughter or, oh my God, can't breathe, that gives it that extra, like, multiplier, sort of, like, times it by three, funniness sort of boost.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, I want to do one of these WhatsApp things and then say at the beginning, oh my God, I'm dying, but I don't want to just do a normal conversation on WhatsApp. I want it being like, Mum, like, WhatsApp, Dad, pick my dad, I've been stabbed. I've been stabbed. I'm in the park right now. Please get an ambulance. Where are you, son? Where are you? It's too late, Dad. Just tell Mum I love her and all that. I'm only kidding. Don't you ever do it. Oh, shut the fuck up, bitch. And lots of people, that lie between somebody and their ma, somebody and their dad, somebody and their grand. I fucking hate you. Go and kill yourself. And I hate you. Ha, ha, ha. And people, what's getting retweeted like fucking people going like, this is a fucking disgrace. And
well, because anyone getting that as a retweet who doesn't know you, I think even people who do know you are not going to be clear whether it's real.
I was doing it kind of trolling away. I was getting it to get attention for people who don't follow me. And I did one, that one about getting stabbed. I said, I've been attacked in the park. Right, where are you, baby? I was saying, you know, like the Muslim. Where are you, baby? Are you okay, hon? Just stay awake. Don't fall asleep. I'm getting dizzy, Mum. Just, I can't phone the ambulance. Phone 999, you have to. I can't just tell Dad I love him. I'm only joking, Mum. Don't you ever do that again. And then somebody tweeted me saying, I hope you do get stabbed. And I replied... like kind of quote retweet to everybody saying, I hope you get stabbed this weekend. And then I was in the, I can't remember where I was at the time, but I was on a book tour, right? And I'd finished one of the shows, and when I got to the hotel, I noticed my account had been suspended. It said, your account has been suspended for this tweet, and you've been reported. I hope you get stabbed this weekend. And I thought, wait a fucking minute, no. They said, I hope you get stabbed first. And it says, well, if you want to appeal it, you have to enter your password again. I didn't have my password because it's in one of these password managers, and I didn't have the app in my phone. And I just thought, oh, fuck it, all right. And it said, you are locked out for 12 hours. I said, for fuck's sake. So I had to wait till like midday the next day. Then I reported them back. and they got suspended. So it's like a nuclear fucking attack. It's brilliant. And since noticing that they can do that to me and I can do that to them, I've been doing it to a lot of people. You know, some other people go like, you're a prick for saying that. Get them fucking suspended. You just honestly go to report and you don't say that they've said something offensive. You say that because there's options. Don't say just offensive. Say it's a targeted attack. And they get locked out for. And I've seen somebody, like, kind of right-wing person go like saying something to us. And I reported them, and they got locked out, and I checked up on their account like about a day later. Oh my God, and they were just tweeting to everybody. Oh my God, so much for free speech and all that. You're going to drive everybody off of Twitter, this is not on. And fucking yes, man. They had the wee Pepe fucking frog avatar and that shite. Yes, man. Grass, be a grassing bastard. I used to do that all the time with students across the road, like, having parties and all that. And I'm just phoning fucking police every time. No 999, but the other number, like 101 or whatever it is, that gets just the normal, you know, if they've got time, they'll come out. And I would just keep getting this fucking party shut down week after week until they didn't date anymore. And I was saying to people on Twitter, you know, I can hear, you know, I can make out what the fucking song is that they're playing. And somebody tweeted me saying, if you can make out the tune, shut it down. I was like, you're fucking right, mate. You know, was it just kind of... You kind of make it every... I know that song, I know that song. I used to... I love grassing. Fucking yeah. Brilliant. I would get grassed up when I was wee. Now it's my fucking tongue.
I mean, it's what Twitter's probably made. It's sort of fun to be that guy. It's just mischievous and it's wind. It's just all wind-ups, really.
Aye. It's just a laugh.
Yeah.
There's not. I'm teetotal, right, and I don't take it anymore. I'm bored at my fucking mind. This is the only sort of buzz I fucking get. Gassing them in, and aye, there's wee guys around the back of my house. They're drinking. Aye, could you do something about it? Aye, you see the police come. You're like, fucking yes, man. I can just phone a number. These fucking guys in uniforms fucking come up about 10 minutes later. I'm just see all these wee guys running away, or you just phone a number and you wait. And there's this party, and then you see this fucking motor turn up, and you go, and there's a music going off. I did that, man. And you've paid for it. You've paid for it. Phone the fucking number. It's a laugh. It's there for you. It's there for you. Grassin's brilliant. Grassin's going to be big next year.
But I can never work. Half your... The things you come up with are quite believable. Like, today you were... tweeting about, and like, I still, even though I know you're joking on everything you put, some of it I believe. So today you were tweeting about how you used to work in an art gallery in New York.
Oh,
and you were also a painter. And yep. Then
I just say things like this has gone a few years back. This is like 1988, and I worked in a gallery and. I want to repeat all the fucking tweets, but I just, and you know who that was? That was Lois Lane for original Superman, Margot Kidder. That was her. And I'm obviously knowing fucking New York in the mid 80s because I would have been about fucking 12. But it's good that you're making up this story about this celeb that you sort of met. You believe it as you're typing it. It's fucking good.
Margot Kidder is a very good choice of someone. So she wants to buy your painting, or she likes your painting, and she knows you've done it in this way.
Yeah.
To come up with, go, who's that woman who was in Superman?
And some people said, did you ever meet, there was a cancelled Green Day gig in Glasgow. Some people were saying, did you ever meet Billy Joe, what's her name? What's his name? And I went, aye. And I just made up fucking some story about sort of seeing him in a lift in a hotel. He's gone... I'm going up. Oh, right, okay. And it's good. As you're making it up, you're like, this feels fucking real. Yeah. You feel yourself going mental. Feel yourself going kind of psychotic, going, in a way, this is happening. Because if that did happen, it's got the same feelings as how it is if you make it up. So in a way, this is fucking real. You're never 100% real because yeah. it didn't happen. But all the other stuff, like how you would feel inside if it happened, which is part of the reality, you're 80% there. So it's mostly fucking real. Mostly happened. If you think about it.
It's, well, I am thinking about it. Yeah, I'd say maybe 70%.
Right? 70%.
70% max. And I also enjoy your obituaries that you do on Twitter every time anyone dies.
Oh, I, yeah.
Which, and I, what I really enjoy is that quite often they get picked up and put in the papers as genuine,
I love
as
that,
genuine
I. obituaries. I love that. There's odd one a day and I think, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, they're under 30 when they died, or, you know, like, I don't know if I did it with Amy Winehouse. I think I did it with her. Every now and again, there's somebody that people go, I shouldn't have. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I would tweet, I met such and such at a charity do. She was surprisingly down to earth and very funny. No matter who's died, and people would tweet me saying, this is how I find out people have fucking died. People tell me, I've got a kind of like a wee kind of hot, like a wee hotline there, you know, a kind of red phone type of thing on Twitter. Yeah. If somebody dies, people tweet me. Oh, did you ever meet? Who's the most recent one? Maybe somebody in Doctor Who, was it? No, Brian Cant for Play Away, yeah. Play School. Did you ever meet Brian Cant at a charity? Brian Cant fucking did. Brian Cant at a charity. Hold on, Lynn, I just need to. I think Daniel needs to go to the toilet. Just a minute. They were waiting for me. This is how they find out. Charity, they're surprisingly doing it. I'm fucking spell mistake. Delete. Like, I'm pure like Daniel, yeah. Dropped my fucking phone.
But it's also a very good parody of all the people who basically, you know, that someone dies and then Twitter's full of people making it about themselves, aren't they? I mean, that's sort of what it's.
I'm looking forward to when I die, and hopefully people they make a, you know, the fans make a tribute to me by tweeting that. I think it would be really funny if I die in a kind of, in a violent way, that people tweet my girlfriend at thinking, he'd like this, wouldn't he? He'd like this, wouldn't he? Like, she's like, is he fucking stamped in with a fucking group of wee fucking guys? You might know. Oh, come on, it's just a laugh, man. My son, pure fucking devastated. Where's daddy? Where my charity do? I met your dad, a charity do, and you know what I mean? The tweet that he did. I'm not kidding. Sorry about your dad, wee man. You need to do that. I said, no, Paul's are in here.
All right, well, leave Twitter behind. I'll ask you in a minute.
People fucking sorting out people fucking grass, not fucking farting.
I'm going to ask you an emergency question. This is my new favourite emergency question. What is the strangest thing you've found in the embers of a bonfire? It's a good question. Wait and see what happens. Takes a little while, but we're going to get some magic.
Fuck all.
We're going to get some magic in a second, don't worry.
I can make something up.
Yeah, I do.
All right. A deep hedgehog. No, that's not funny. That's not fucking funny.
I bet there is something.
Come on, that's an animal.
I found my first cat when I was a kid. We found it in the embers of a bonfire.
This really?
Yeah. It was still alive, but it had been quite badly burnt in this bonfire.
And it was all... Some people hate cats, don't they?
They do. They just had all its side burnt. Like that. It was only a kitten.
And it's all right?
It was a wild cat that lived in the farm behind us, and the farmer said he didn't want it, so we paid for the vet to come and stitch her up.
That's one of the people who hate cats. Do you hate cats?
He hates cats, that guy.
You've got to watch people who hate cats. Because it's like you're hating cats, bedwetting, and arson. triangle of psychopath. My girlfriend's Ma, she fucking hates cats. She hates cats. And what is it you hate about cats?
They don't
get any love back.
Says the man who hates cats.
Kind of
is glad when they get badly burnt. Those cats are so selfish.
Love cats. Yeah. Love cats. What's that?
Cats are slappers. What the hell? The master from Doctor Who has spoken, ladies and gentlemen. He came in late. cats are slappers.
Right.
They're really not. I don't. You're saying you have sex with cats instead of. You're saying instead of prostitutes. If I can't get a prostitute, just pop down the Batsy dog and cat's home. Pretend you're a concerned. You can just take the cat home and fuck it for free, and no one. It's got a little tight little cat anus.
I've kind of moved on. I'm thinking about what I can. What's in the embers of the fire? Let me think. Yeah. Let's see. A fascist. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
a cat-hating fascist. That's as straight as the weirdest thing I've found in a bonfire.
Yeah, that is strange. Strange that he knew, that guy knew. He must have been with you.
He must have came when I talked about him on my previous shows.
Okay, fine. Let's not talk to the audience again, they're strange. You know, I thought you were quite strange with the whole time people up under the sea until they drown.
I don't know if he can hear us right, but did he say cats are slappers?
It's not the first thing I would think about.
Lead you on, they fucking lead you on. Don't want anything to do with you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've got another one for you. If your genitals had to turn into a sea creature for one day every month, but you could choose the sea creature they turned into, what sea creature would you like that to be?
Something wee, so that people don't notice it. Sea lion. Is it sea lion? No, no, it's not sea lion, sea horse. Fucking sea lion. Fucking sea lion. Something that never been noticed. Like a sea lion. Fucking walrus.
They might just think you were standing behind a sea lion.
That'd actually be best. Yeah, that's be best. And people just go there. So,
would you like to stroke my sea lion?
We need to take it away. No. I'll have to come here. I have to make sure it's safe. Make sure it's safe.
Seahorses aren't that
don't,
small.
Don't play with it too much. Fucking coming at the mouth like that. Fucking bomb, dude. Seahorse.
But a seahorse is quite big as well.
Is it? No, you get these ones that are like that. What?
Well, not compared to, plankton.
You get ones that are about cock size.
Yeah.
I mean, like, average cock size. You can pick what age anyway. I take it to start off wee and then you go, right, a one-year-old.
So you want a one-year-old seahorse? That is...
A seahorse.
Sick. If it was a middle-aged seahorse, that's all right. Right. you've been on tour. Well, since I last saw you, so it was quite interesting. So you were, as you said, when you came here last time, you read a bit from your book, and then you went off and did a book tour, and you're back on stage. You've done a Limmy live show, and you've done another two book tours, have you? So you've been doing quite a lot of touring. How are you finding the touring experience aside from the hotels?
It's brilliant. I really like it. And just I love the, like, the Q&A bit, just fucking rabbiting away, like, no, just talking a lot of fucking shite. And it's been brilliant just going to all these places. I went to, like, Ireland, never been before, but I never fucking... I went to Sheffield, right? Never been to Sheffield. And I thought, I kind of like Def Leppard and I kind of like the Human League. And I thought, well, that's where... there's for Sheffield and I'm there for two nights. I wonder if you can go on a wee thing or go to a place and it says, Def Leppard were here once. And what I did for the first night was I got to Sheffield and I just went to the hotel and my show wasn't on that night. It was the next night. I just spent the whole fucking night in this Travelodge room and the whole in the next day, right? I spent almost 24 hours in this wee room and it was fucking brilliant. It was like being in jail. It was magic. And I loved going to all these places and no doing anything. Yeah. I got to Dublin. One of the first things I did was just went to the Pictures to watch Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah.
Just wasting all these fucking opportunities to check places out and get to know people. Felt fucking brilliant. Felt like going all the way around the world to some amazing place and going, I'm not even going to open my fucking eyes. I'm going to open my eyes. And getting on the plane and coming all the way back. Just kind of waste.
I'm like that though as well. When I toured with Stuart, he would always wanted to go and see this. He wanted to go walking up the mountains. He wanted to go to all the tourist attractions. We went to loads of tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. When I tour on my own, I literally just go to the hotel and then to the theatre and then go home if I can.
It's brilliant because if you've got a wee and if you've got a boy or a lass or whatever, then it's good getting a, like if they're wee, it's good getting a, some, if you're not doing a tour, your other option is to just lock yourself in the toilet. Just pretend you're doing a shite 10 times a day. When you're acting just like that, just sitting on your fucking phone or just going like that. In a minute, I've got something's not right with me, I need to. So again, going on a tour is just a good fucking getting back to before you have a wane, back to the old watching Columbo while you're lying on the couch sort of days. So just be lying in the fucking bedroom watching something on film four, some old fucking Kirk Douglas film, lad.
Yeah.
This is a fucking life, this. This is a shite, man. This is shite. I fucking love this.
It's really true that I think the things you, once you've got a family and you've got all the time, all your time is taken up, the things you miss is all the stuff, you know.
I did nothing.
The thing I like best is getting back from a tour when everyone's asleep. I've come back late and it's midnight and everyone in the house is asleep and I'll sit downstairs drinking whiskey and watching telly on my own. And it's the best. It's the best thing in the world.
I used to do that with wine. Before I was doing stand-up and all that, I used to love just drinking a bottle of wine, kind of every night, or a half bottle of wine, and just playing Grand Theft Auto 3 back then.
Yeah.
And just watching Rope, Alfred Hitchcock, about every fucking night, and then playing GTA and just sitting there with a big fucking glass of wine. Like, fucking magic, man.
Drinking on your own is the best. But you do, you miss the, it's all that time you wasted before you had a, you know, it's like, but it's sort of terrible and amazing, so it's nice.
It's probably the best use of fucking time. It's like, I'm going on holiday next week. Oh, you must be looking forward to getting away. Well, you don't get to relax when you got away and you're spending all your time making sure a fucking Wayne Disney drown. That's it. You don't get to relax. You're just, Where is he? It's hard as fuck. The holiday is actually sitting in the house while he's on Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's the holiday. And then the walk starts when you arrive at fucking Mallorca or whatever.
Good.
Sorry, man, I write Moni way the night, sorry.
No, it's good. It's good to be honest about it as well. Today you were tweeting about manspreading and saying that it was all right for men to manspread.
Well, I don't. I mean, look at me right now. Right? That's because I've got kind of genitals in a way. I'm fucking para, but there was a guy right next to me, and he on the train, and he was like that, and I was like, right, there's like two seats next to each other. That's the middle.
Yeah,
this is my bit. Everything here to there, that's my bit. His leg was just there at the border.
Yeah,
so he was like effectively on my side. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that.
I wasn't even serious anyway. I was just saying, oh, man spreading. That's because men have got boz and cocks, and some of them need to do that because they've got big boz and they
do that. That, but you don't need to do that. I've been on a train once with a guy, and he was like half onto the seat. Aye. There was only one seat, and I sat on it, and he didn't move his, you know, so the leg bones were like touch. I could feel his leg bone with my leg bone. They were so brushed together. And he still wouldn't move. It's like, he was just like...
Right. I was thinking about it on the train. I was thinking, I wonder if you can get spikes. Like, we kind of... they go under the trousers, yeah. And they're kind of like spikes you get on runner, athletes kind of shoes, and you just put them there. So, and it's not like obviously sticking out, but it's just enough for them to go, hey man, what was that? They might think it's just a wee, like a zip or something, or they don't know, but it's just enough to move them away, maybe stick a wee bit of fucking wee disease at the end of the fucking needle. Something like that. So you get that, and then if it's somebody you're seeing all the time, then like maybe like a month down the line, you start to see them getting a wee bit ill and losing a bit of weight, losing a wee bit of weight and all that. You all right? Are you all right, pal? That would be good.
Yeah. And I went to your website to look up. You know, if there's anything on our website worth looking at. And, there's only one. There's only. You go to your website and there's just five coloured bars.
Swearing xylophone.
Yeah, it's like a xylophone, yeah.
And it says, you are a fucking cunt. Yeah. It, depending on what you press, you get that said again and again in different notes and all that. I made it first years ago in Flash. But then I redid it for HTML5. And it's other wee things like /gouge/DD speaking clock for Yoda. Okay. Yoda speaking clock. Yeah. I had a good old days of Flash. Don't get me started on that.
We talked a little about it on the last podcast you came, and I didn't really understand it then either. So I'll ask you a proper emergency question from the proper book. Oh, actually, I want to, because again, every interview I read with you, I think this is all bullshit. Right. I want to know if this, you did an interview with like a local newspaper,
right.
And the guy said, tell me something that nobody knows about you, and then you, and if it's true, then it's not at all funny. And then you said that you had undescended testicles when you were a child.
I tweeted that the day as well. Yeah. I don't know why that's fucking going on with all the time. I thought undescended.
Yeah.
I remember when I was wee, like primary school even, I remember showing people my scars. I remember going like that, look, and there was bruising. And there was these scars down there. So I don't know when it happened. I thought undescended meant your balls are in your ball bag, your scrotum or whatever. But one feels kind of attached to your body and the other one sort of loose and moves about. That's what it means. But actually means that the balls are all the way fucking inside your body. Right. And it's sort of, it's not dead common, but it's not like some kind of like, oh, it's a fucking viral video. Wait till you see what happened to this wee boy. It's like, they just cut you open and they push it fucking down. And one of them feels sort of attached to my body, the one feels a bit loose.
Yeah.
And I had to get, aye, that's true, aye.
Yeah. Thing is, though, because of the Margot Kidder
yourself?
Thing. The thing is, mine are okay. Because of the Margot Kidder thing, I just don't believe anything you say.
No, really. That's not true. But I tweeted just an hour ago, I saw Princess Di's brother.
Yeah, I saw
him. And I really did see him.
Yeah.
I don't know, down here, that's nothing Spencer. To use, man.
Earl Spencer.
That's nothing to use down here. Use my seal.
We see him all the time, yeah.
Aye, but I saw him, I was like, I was ready to say something, so I don't fucking say anything. I was ready to take a picture, but no. Yeah. There he was.
He's quite old now, though. Are you sure it was him? Cause he's
no, it's definitely him, because it's him, but like his face sort of, it looks like he's been punched, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he started like his dad. Do you remember his dad, and Princess Diana's dad as well, ironically, so coincidentally? He was kind of a, you know, his face was kind of quite bloated, and now the young Spencer is sort of turning into that kind of bloated. He's like a Doctor Who monster, kind of
like
bloated.
Like he's cloud got bits sort of coming out here and there, and I thought, you know, is it the eyebrow thing, like, is it him? No, I thought it was Elton John, that's right. Remember he did the talk, but I know it was him.
Right, I'll ask you the next question before we start libelling the royal family, which we would never do on this show. If you had to have sex with either Zippy, Bungle, George, Jeffrey or Rod, did you watch Rainbow when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in Scotland?
Aye.
Yeah, okay. Whilst Jane and Freddie had sex with each other next to you, but they couldn't join in with the sex. If you had to do that, which of the Rainbow team would you have sex with? Zippy, Bungle, George, Jeffrey, or Rod from
Just
Rod
to Just so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are we talking about actually shagging the puppets, yes, or are we imagining that they're real, or are we talking about shagging the puppeteers? how much in reality are we?
Well,
just like you, because you know that below Ziffy,
yeah,
and George,
yeah,
no, Bungle.
No, George. There's a man inside.
Who's
Bungle?
The bear?
Bungle's the bear.
Bungle's the bear.
Someone,
right,
inside.
You know
there.
That if there was a hole in the back, you put a cork in, you'll be shagging a guy's ass. But below, there's nothing below Ziffy. So let's say Ziffy.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's speed things up and just say Ziffy. Ziffy.
I'm just going to cut the rest out, so it's just you immediately saying Zippy.
Say Zippy.
I'm going to edit it, so the witch of the way, Zippy.
Zippy.
Definitely Zippy.
Before we've even finished the question. Zippy, I know this question, Zippy.
Alright, try this one. This is one I'm trying to popularise that isn't popular yet. If you could have all your teeth replaced by psychic orbs that could tell you all future events by telepathy, but would scream at a high-pitched volume every time you opened your mouth, would you go ahead with the teeth replacement operation? Some people need that one a second time.
No.
No, you got it.
No. I wouldn't do it.
Even though you could see the future?
No, because all the rest of it would do you nothing. It would, you wouldn't like it. It would fuck with your head. And nobody would want to be around you because of the screaming sound. Yeah. No.
You just keep your mouth closed and write
I'm
everything.
Taking these questions very seriously.
That's the way they must be told. We were tweeting about Monopoly tactics. I'd quite like to talk to you about the tactics for playing Monopoly.
Oh, aye.
Because we were tweeting about it a few months ago. I don't know if you remember. Because there was a program. I think the Infinite Monkey Cage talked about it, but I think their tactics were incorrect. They said that you should get the red set, Trafalgar Square.
No.
Because that's the Trafalgar Square is the one you land on.
Most land, that's right.
But
I used to play it online, and it was like an American one, and it's got all these different names, like Madison, so I don't know. But I played it a few months ago, went down to this person's house, and we're playing it. They were drunk, mind you. But I was like, I was thinking to myself, I'm going to fucking win this. It was me and these two other guys that were drunk, and I thought, get orange. Orange is what you want to get. It's the highest return on investment. Don't forget about green. But I thought, get that any way you can.
Orange is good because a lot of people will go to land on the jail square probably more than any other square. So that means coming out of jail, you're likely to hit anything on orange. I like orange, and that's how I used to play.
I think
the best one to go for is the light blue set.
Well,
because let me tell you why. Because it's quite likely on the first turn they'll all be taken, right? If you can manage to get them, and we'll talk about this, and I think this is the way to do it. Get someone, wait, you get round, get one light blue, the other two get taken as well quite quickly. You go around, you get a green, you go, I'll swap you a green for one of the light blues, and the people are going, green's much better than a light blue, and so they'll do it. And then you go, have I done something stupid? You know you haven't done something stupid.
Well,
you get those, and you can build hotels straight away, and then bang, you're in.
Just go by the stats. The data.
Stats is not enough. Because people land on go a lot, so that's still it's got the orange thing still going for it. But you can get it quickly, and you can pay for hotels straight away.
Get these things so you can then trade them, maybe, right? But get the orange ones. But it's the most important tip
of all. It's hard
to
get the orange ones.
The most important tip of all is to be humble. It is, because that's what I was doing with them. You don't go, I'm going to fucking win this. I'm going to fucking, yes, let's get it started. I'm going to win this. Because they'll all go, normal, we'll get him, and they'll want to trade with you, and they'll fuck you, and they'll want to... You just go, could I maybe swap that? Or could I maybe have the oranges and maybe for that? And like when you're taking money off them, go, this is how I was playing. Sorry. You'll get back into it. Once you know the fuck though, then, and I was saying this on Twitter, then you can really bring out the fucking Emperor Palpatine sort of fucking thing. You just, I did Emperor Palpatine the last time I was fucking here, I think. Because you've got the Chancellor Palpatine thing to begin with, where you're just sort of like being all nice and that. Then once you know they're fucked, and they fucking, you know, they're just like, they're dying, then you can just go, fucking pay me right now. Pay me right now. Right now, that kid, you can swear at them, call them names, there's nothing they can do. Nothing you can do. And I fucking won.
I think orange is good, but
they were steaming, mind you, but that's your fault.
I think orange is good, but I would like you to consider light blue in the future, just for to win the game very quickly. You've got to get them quickly. The problem with orange, I find, is that sometimes the one that's six from the jail, the first orange one, you don't get that one quite as quickly as the other. So sometimes you go around the board quite a long time and no one's landed. I played a game.
No.
I play Monopoly all the time against my phone.
The jail. Wait a minute. It's go to jail. The
go
first,
to jail. Go to jail's on the first corner.
Go,
the orange.
Go to jail. The jail and free parking. Isn't it?
Yeah, free. It's jail, free parking, go to jail, go.
Right.
And then the first orange one, Marlborough Road, is the sixth.
All these things, this kind of reminds me of Street Fighter 4 that I used to play, right? See when you're trying to do all the combos, you're learning all the combos that goes into that. That gets too complicated for me. You end up fucking it up. See if you just sort of like, kind of like, here's an Earth Star Wars sort of thing. You kind of use the force. And you don't think about all the fucking combos. You just go, I'm just going to play in fucking gut instinct. Yeah, I'm just going to... Occasionally do the odd fucking fireballs. I used to go cigar. And you do the odd thing like that, but generally just your fucking quick reflexes and stuff like that. Remembering all the combos is too fucking hard, right? Especially when you get older. So you need to keep it simple. So two simple things. Get orange. Get all oranges. Only do three hussies. Don't bother going for the hotels. Three hussies just there. That's your highest... That's the best... thing and orange and be humble. That's it. Be humble. Don't act like you care about winning and be nice and all that until you can really reveal yourself.
I played a game of Monopoly, admittedly against computer opponents on my phone, where I went round the board seven times and I hadn't landed on a single proper deck of buy.
Well,
because I either landed on like go to jail or right. I landed on stuff that someone else had already landed on and I went round seven times. I thought I'm going to do the whole game without being able to buy a single property, and then it's quite difficult to play.
I can play at a computer because you're not getting the joy of beating a real person.
No, I do get the joy of beating. There's a penguin on it and I just imagine it.
Oh, right, right,
there's a penguin.
Right,
I play the penguin and the taxi car and there's an Easter Island statue on it.
But you need to...
And I believe... And I hate the penguin.
Right.
As long as I beat the penguin, I don't
mind.
I can
imagine if you play that enough, you do start to hate that thing, even though you know it's not real. You do start to fucking hate it. But it's good beating real people. Nothing beats real. That's why I play Overwatch all the time. Fuck it. Anybody play Overwatch? Fucking love that game, man. It's just good beating other fucking people, knowing that they're raging. There's a real person out there. Like that. Fuck off. Especially when you get them to rage quit. Especially when you see them to leave early and you're like, yes, man. They're like, fuck this. No better feeling. Used to get out of a Street Fighter as well. People rage quitting. Fucking magic.
I feel the penguin is more upset than a real person would be.
Really? Does the penguin dead, is it?
Well, it looks a bit stroppy when it loses. The ball deflates.
That's good.
Which I don't like that. It's too far. If you had to do a human centipede with two other people, if you had to, you're in the middle, who would you have in front of you and behind you?
You know, I actually asked this in my Q&A.
Were you? Someone nicked it off me then. Because that's my question. No one else could have thought of that.
Am I in the middle?
Yeah, you're in the middle. So you've got
to
eat the shit.
I have to be in the middle. My girlfriend would be in front, so I'm eating her shite. As the person who's shite. I've never eaten her shite, in case you're wondering. But that's the person whose shit I could put up with the most, probably.
Yeah.
And behind me, just a general Tory. I'd say Theresa May, but that'd be kind of sexist. Say David Cameron, but he's not doing it anymore. Let's say the fucking Queen. Who came down to London? Like William Wallace. Who came down to London and... Get him! I'm drawing quarter.
All right, and on a similar theme, if you had to be anally violated by a popular chocolate bar, if you had to be, which chocolate bar would you like to be inserted into your anus?
The thinnest one, so that would be maybe Bitsy a Curly Wurly. Or...
I think you can break the chocolate bar up. You've got to have the whole thing up there.
Well, a star bar would be all right.
Star bar?
A star bar.
It's quite a thick one, isn't it, star
but
bar?
You do shites that are bigger. If I actually saw a shite in the pan that was as thin as a star bar, I'd be kind of like... this. No, that'd be all right. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. And anyway, start to melt anyway up with the warmth of your arse and start to waste away on. No, but then you got the peanuts. Once that melts away, then you got the fucking peanuts scraping against.
I mean, if you had a peanut allergy, that would be a bad way to die as well, wouldn't it? If that's, that's how they find.
I'd say just a normal kind of Yorkie.
Yorkie.
Because that's
very
that's
chunky. It's chunky.
Well,
and hard.
Dairy milk, because they've changed. They used to be, I can't remember, they're kind of round now.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Ah, nice. Wait a minute. Single kind of strip.
Twix.
Aero. Twix has got the biscuit in it, remember?
Yeah.
Fudge.
What?
Finger of fudge.
Fudge. Fudge, yep.
Yeah.
Finger of fudge.
Yeah. Can't take answers from the public. And I just want, we're going to have to stop soon. It's been very nice talking to you again. Thank you for coming down to, especially to talk to me. I'm very...
A lot of Monopoly fans in the audience will be happy tonight. Happy tonight.
We had some good chat there.
Didn't think you're getting it us tonight.
It was better than the fucking infinite monkey cage. You didn't know anything about the strategy of playing Monopoly.
I'll check that out.
They knew all about the maths, but they don't know about the passion and the
you
intrigue.
Need the psychology is... The male guilt... No, sorry, I won't get any again. Fuck
okay.
it.
I'll happily talk to you about it for a long time. Your vines were all screened together at a film festival all in one go.
Yep.
How the hell did that go down?
It's kind of fucking annoying in a way. Like, all the vines, it was a London Short Film Festival, and it was like the first 600, so that's like six... It's an hour long, right? And solid. So it starts off with the... I've done ones like these characters that just sort of popped up, like the plasterer and the laugher and all that. But you would get, when I actually did them, I didn't do them in a row. I'd have one there and I'd go and do some other shite, and then one there and one there. So you don't see them all grouped together. So it's just all this fucking one after another stuff, and it's just like kind of getting bombarded just with anything. Doesn't matter what it is, 6 seconds, six seconds to the next one.
What did Iannucci reckon, though?
He said he liked it, but you would, wouldn't you?
You would. Amanda Iannucci was hosting this.
He was there. He was hosting it. He was saying that was good. But how many people, if they don't like it, are going to go? I didn't like that, Brian. I didn't like that at all.
There was too many vines. There
too much for you? No, just a bit boring. Just a bit kind of shite. Remember, I've seen it all, Brian. I've seen it all. I think he liked it, but the whole thing was just like, even if there's something funny that pops up, you don't have time to fucking laugh, because then other things just came up again.
It's a bit like the Clockwork Orange thing or something, when just things are flashing in your face. It's sort of that kind of...
But I'd like to do it again. Some people said, why are you doing it in London? Why are you not doing it up the road? Why are you taking all that down to London? You're too fucking good for us now and all that.
Yeah.
So I'll do it up there, I think.
Yeah.
But it's no... I'd probably say to people, come along and... take acid and all that. Oh, that'd be a crack night. No, don't. I want to do it again, but it's no that fucking enjoy. It's not a funny thing. It's kind of more... It's funny. I think that the other things are kind of funny if you're into that sort of thing. I like them, otherwise I wouldn't fucking do them. But when you're seeing it like that, it's just... You don't have a...
Yeah, but that's what, you know, that overload is kind of...
It's very an arty experience. Yeah. Rather than actual like fucking comedy.
Yeah, it is, but then it is sort of artistic. You know, like a lot of things that are in art galleries are kind of similar to that sort of stuff already. You know, they're just like a load of stupid shit all put together. And that's
what it is.
By a normal looking
but
man.
It's not, but I'm not going to tell everybody, like if I date up the road, I'm not going to say, by the way, just to warn you, this isn't very good. You're not going to like this. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm going to tell them. They'll find it soon enough.
And what you were talking about stage, you might be doing a sketch show again for the TV.
Aye, well, hopefully. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you very much. It's no limit. I didn't want to do a fourth series, right? Because I had trouble writing the third series. I didn't come up with any like new characters. Like the second series, I came up with like Larry Forsyth and Raymond Day. But for the third series, I didn't. Have it in your thought, right, you're starting to fucking run out, so that's it, just finish it there. So it's not that, I thought, I want to do something that's like my old YouTube stuff and my old, like my Vines and things like that, but on the telly, and a BBC said they were into it, but So I was ready to go on date, and I said, wait, no. Just need a bit of, kind of, a wee bit of red tape first, or like financial folk and legal folk, in case I go out and I start filming things you're not supposed to film, like people in the street, or there's a van going by with a kind of like window cleaner phone number on it, and that's advertising. Shit like that. But I was like, months ago, and it's taking so long, and I'm like, I'm fucking tempted to just go, fuck it, just dating Patreon or something like that, just date, and then you'll be able to say cunt, and that's it, just make a whole fucking sketch of that, and maybe more freedom. But I'd love to just put that on the telly, because I've not seen anything like that where it's just all the homemade stuff. And
yeah, it's a difficult thing to
I don't know what people would think, because I'm into sort of weirder stuff now. I'm almost no into trying to make people laugh as much as you've discovered tonight. You know, like doing all these sort of letters, your punchline. I like kind of weird stuff, because that's what I'm into myself now. I don't care if something's funny or no, or good or no. I just want it to be kind of strange, and I've not seen it before. So I can imagine doing something like that and sticking on the telly and again critically panned.
But if you do it yourself, I mean, I think if anyone can do that, make that work on the internet with everyone chipping in a pound. It's nearly me, but it probably isn't me. So, you know, I think people would do that. You could kickstart it or
I mean, I wouldn't want to do a big thing. I wouldn't want to go like that, right? You need to give me that 120,000, but you know, that fucking, like, yeah. I just go...
Like I did.
I like just go, give me some, like that. But give me just a few pence, just like maybe 50 pence a month, please, and I'll make you, you know, if you don't like it, you can, you know, unsubscribe, whatever the fuck it is, but... We'll see how it goes, but I might be writing another book, so I don't know. But I'd love to do it. I've been thinking about it. I'd love to just make that up. I'm looking at Patreon going, look, what's everybody else doing? And would that be good to have? For $2, you get this. For $4, you get the behind the scenes. For $15, you get to have your name in the credits. And for $100, you get to meet me. Wow. I would be worried if somebody paid for the, you know, the kind of top tier fucking things. Like, I'm getting fucking stabbed here. I'm getting. But I gave you £100. I thought we were pals. Will you be my dad? Fuck that. No, I'll keep it nice and low.
I also think the short stories, though, I'd love to see those. Just, you know, I think like a. Those being filmed.
I already proposed it, just like all my other sitcom ideas, they got fucking knocked back. I said, I went to my agent and said, can you see if any production companies or whatever would be interested in going to some channel about like daft wee stories but like film, kinda like Twilight Zone or something like that, Night Gallery. That he did after Twilight Zone, where you got a few stories in an episode.
Yeah.
And only one company was interested, and they thought about it, and they went, nah. They just said, we don't want to kill work. A sketch show, a sitcom, this sort of in-betweeny thing, no.
Yeah, there it
and
is.
And I'm just like that. You end up getting all these knockbacks. You just get all these knockbacks, and you just get all these knockbacks, you know, and no, oh. And it just breaks your wee heart, you know. You get used to it, though. So I'm kind of almost thinking that with this sketch show thing. What if I get like a month down the line? I said, right, so here's the idea, and here's what I want to do. The BBC Scotland, and I go, now forget it. You know, I just don't think I can take that kind of rejection, as George McFly would say in Back to the Future.
But I genuinely went through that, like, I had 10 or 15 years of everything getting knocked back, and I got to the point where I couldn't, I wouldn't bother trying to work hard on anything, because I couldn't bear working hard on something and then them making it good and then them saying no.
Poor fucking us, eh?
Now I've got over that. I think you kind of get over it, because also, A, we're very lucky to be able to do what we do and do anything at all. But also, you've just got to keep, you know, if you keep fucking plowing away, so eventually someone will go, because that's definitely, what you're saying there is definitely a brilliant show. If you just filmed the four stories at the start of that second book and even put them all together in one show, it doesn't matter, they're not connected.
That homemade sort of thing, I've been to doing a kind of, just me and my camcorder, just having a fucking laugh, but...
But you could film, you know, you could film those properly with, like, you know, you could make them little short films. They'd all work... really beautifully as properly filmed things.
I don't want to film it properly. Anymore. You know, you see comedy programs, they're all like done, you know, very, very good lenses and fucking prime lenses and shallow depth of field and coloured corrected, all looking beautiful. And for me, that just takes away from the fucking the comedy. It looks, it's like, it's sort of, I don't like it. I just like the whole Vines thing and YouTube stuff and kind of, you know, more raw. More fucking raw
then,
like that.
Then do it on, you know, cheaper. Yeah, it is. Well, you can do it yourself then and you can do it online and then you're in control of it and then no one's taking money off you and taking you.
I really like that, but can you imagine doing it and like fucking nobody's in it and I'm like, I go back to the BBC. Aye, you're sitting there, you're not interested anyway. Fucking hell, man. No, I'd be really, really, really into that.
Yeah.
Really into that.
It'll happen. It'll happen. You're too individual and brilliant a voice. It'll take some time, but you'll get.
No, thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Sorry. Okay. All right. I'll ask you one more emergency question, then we're going to have to go. Going to be a good. I'm going to make good one. All the ones I'm looking at are terrible. It goes off towards the. I don't know why I'm looking at the end of the book because. How about this? Another, you know, Julian Clary last week backstage said you're very obsessed with anuses. It's like all heterosexual men, you're just obsessed with anuses. Aye. And I wanted to say to him, yeah, anuses aren't just for gay people, mate. We can all enjoy them.
That's right.
Yeah,
is it odd though? You're not a lie.
But anyway, let's leave anuses behind. If you had a finger that could cure rectal cancer, but only if you pushed it hard up the anus of the cancer sufferer, would you cure anyone, everyone, or be like Jesus and just cure a few?
Just the sort of good people.
Yeah.
I would any kind of like say people I didn't agree with politically, I'd let them die.
Yeah.
People I didn't like, or I would anybody maybe who wronged me in primary one or something like that. I would. See them on Facebook talking about how, you know, the terrible news and all that. I say, well, listen, I've got this ability. How about we meet up and then just some a bit of day? I go, ah, wait a fucking minute. I remember you. Bye. I would use it for evil rather than for good.
Okay, good. It was good. More people should do that with their cancer curing fingers. That should happen more often. Anyway, look, we're going to have to wrap it up, but it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause to Libby! Libby!
Thank you very much.
We'll be back next week. See you next week with more Brian's. Don't drink.
How do you like them sky potatoes?
3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.